Lovely. See Revelation chapter 1. I'll start from verse 1. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must surely what? Come to pass. And he sent and signified it by the what? His angel unto his servant John, who bore record of the word of God and of the what? Testimony of Jesus Christ. Right? So, the book of Revelation is a book that reveals Jesus Christ, and it's a book that is about the testimony of the same Jesus Christ. Look at verse 2 again. Who bore record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. He says, blessed is he that readeth, right? And they that hear the words of this prophecy. Now, what are prophecies? Utterances, right? Are we together? So it means that the book of Revelation has lots of utterances. Right, so he says, blessed is he that readeth all they and they that hear the words of the prophecy and keep those things which are what written therein, for a time is at hand. Praise Jesus. So we started laying the foundation on this from Sunday. I will try to establish how John is trying to write, or John is writing about the person Jesus Christ. Praise God. Right? And it's the revelation of Jesus Christ, not the revelations of so many other things. So he didn't say the revelations of Jesus Christ, the revelations of the Antichrist, the revelations of what have you, yet the revelation of Jesus Christ. So it means that a good way to know you've read the book of Revelation is when you see that Christ is revealed in your heart, or Christ is revealed in your reading, or Christ is revealed in your understanding. Praise Jesus, right? So it says the revelation of Jesus Christ, that same revelation is the testimony of Jesus Christ. So God gave the revelation to Apostle John. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yeah, so God gave the revelation to Apostle Paul by and signified it by the hands or through an angel. So an angel was involved in the mediation of the book of Revelation. So we cannot factor out, or we have to factor in, the ministry of angels when reading the book of Revelation. Are we here? We have to factor in the ministry of angels when reading the book of Revelation. So, you know, like Ephesians, Colossians, where you see Paul just write from, you know, in the prison, or Paul just writes letters to people, right? He writes letters in the book of Revelation. However, we need to factor in certain other things, right? So in the book of Revelation, first you have John spoke. Are we here? Are we here? John spoke. Are we here? Who again spoke? Jesus spoke. Is that true? Yeah, Jesus spoke in verse 8, I am the Alpha, Omega, first beginning, the end, right? Which is, which was, and which is to come, forever and ever, amen. So Jesus spoke, John spoke, angels spoke, and we'll find out if other people spoke. So the major difference in the book of Revelation as an epistle is the fact that an angel was involved. Now, it's important to know that angels are very notorious for being very heavy in figures of speech. Right, so angels are very heavy in communication, in figures of speech, in figurative expressions. Yeah, are we together? So angels are heavy in symbolisms. Angels are heavy in figurative expressions. Yeah, so that the nature of an angel, the nature of the way the angel communicates, usually by default, has lots of symbolisms. So it means that angels are not better explainers than men. Are we together? Are we here? Yeah, so angels are not excellent explainers, right? They might be excellent in particular fields, but they are not excellent explainers, right? They can convey a message, right? But they are not necessarily very good in explaining the message. Are we together? Right? The word here, angel, is the word angelos, right? And angelos just really means a messenger, one who conveys messages, right? So, you said, signified by his angel. Now, it's important, it's interesting to know that when you see the word angel, you need to determine what kind of angel is being spoken about. For we have the angels that are, you know, supernatural beings, and we have angels that are men. Praise Jesus. Look at 1 Peter 1. We have a few things to cover this evening, and I trust we'll do well to certain aspects of the book of Revelation this evening. Say amen. So look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 10. 1 Peter 1, 10. See what it says. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. First Peter chapter 1 verse 10. I'll say it one more time. The book of First Peter chapter 1 verse 10. It says, of which salvation the prophets have inquired, and they have searched diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Searching what, or what manner of time, the Spirit of Christ. Now, we've explained severally that the Spirit of Christ there, we speak about the message of Christ, right? So the Spirit of Christ, that is the message of Christ, which was in them, did what signify? Yeah, it says what it testified beforehand, the what? The sufferings of Christ, are we here? The glory that should what? Follow. Now look at verse 12 carefully. Unto whom it was what? Revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the what? The things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the what? Gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Which what? Which things? The angels what? So scriptures are things that angels desire to look into to find explanation. Are we together? So scriptures that says angels desire to look in critically. So it means that if angels desire to look in critically, it means that you are not actually, angels will not be better teachers of the word. Right? So the plan of God is that scriptures are taught by men, not angels. Are we together? Okay, hold your hands in First Peter and go to 2 Timothy. Right? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We can see verse 2 or verse 1. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. It says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to what? Teach others also. So Paul is to, Paul says to Timothy, you commit to faithful men who shall teach other men. Are we together? So it's God's plan for men to be ministry gifts in the resurrection, for men to teach other men. Are we together? Right? So are angels messengers? Yes. Do angels convey messages? Yes. Do angels convey, do angels really know the explanation of the messages? Not really. All together. Yeah? Can they be able to explain their... Okay, look at Acts 10. Let me show you something quickly. Look at Acts 10. Acts chapter 10. When Acts chapter 10, verse 3. Acts chapter 10, verse 3. Let me show you something quickly there. Acts chapter 10, verse 3. Look at Acts 10, 3. Are you there? Have you gone home? Oh, beautiful. So Acts 10, 3. Look at Acts chapter 10, verse 3. See what it says there. He says, he saw in a vision. Who is the he that saw in a vision? There was a certain man, verse 1, in where? Caesarea, called Cornelius. So he saw in a vision is who? Cornelius saw in a vision. So Cornelius saw in a vision, evidently about the what? The ninth hour of the day. What happened in the vision? An angel of what? God coming into him, saying unto him, right? Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was what? Afraid and said, what is it, Lord? Now, did Cornelius call the angel Lord? So is it only God that is called Lord? Yeah, so yesterday we saw in Exodus 15, verse 3, right? The Lord is the man of war. Are we, remember? Remember that? The Lord is the man of war. The Lord is what? The Lord is Jehovah, right? So when we now saw from Psalms 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? So it's not every time the word Lord speaks about God or a supernatural being. Are we together? Yeah, in scriptures you have the prophets, you have men of old called Lord as well. Are we together? Right? You have angels, supernatural beings called Lord, and you have Jesus called Lord. Yeah. So Cornelius, who wasn't a believer, yes, calls the angel Lord. Now, look at how the angel says. And when he looked at him, he was afraid, and he said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now, look at verse 5. And now send men to what? Joppa, and call for one Simon, whose surname is what? Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a Tanna, right? So Simon a Tanna, Simon Peter, right? Two different Simons. Are we together? Whose house is by the seaside, he shall tell thee what thou ought to do. All together. So what is the angel saying? Don't look for explanation from my mind, from my mouth rather. Go and send for a Simon Peter and he will tell you what to do. So it means that angels could not communicate well what he ought to do. Are we together? Yeah. So now, did God want Cornelius to do certain things? Yes. How did God inform Cornelius about the certain things? God informed the angel to tell Cornelius the man Cornelius is to meet. You get that? Right? So the angel says to Cornelius, see, I don't have the meaning, I don't have the message, I don't have the content, I don't have the explanation of what God will have you do. But go send for that man at Joppa, right? Just go send for that man, right? Send men to Joppa and look for Simon Peter, who is staying with Simon the Tanner. Praise God. So go send for Simon Peter, and Simon Peter will tell you what to do. Let me ask you a question. The angel that met Cornelius, was that an angel? Was Simon Peter an angel? Oh, take be careful. Was Simon Peter an angel? I started teaching this evening by saying angels include supernatural beings and includes physical men. Who is an angel? We said the word angel is angelos, right? So what is angelos? A man or a being who conveys a message. So do you suppose Peter has message to convey? So is Peter an angel, right? So is Peter an angel? Is Peter an angel? Was the being that met Cornelius an angel? So an angel tells Cornelius who God wants to make an angel. Hey, you there? You there? Eventually, the goal is for Cornelius to be saved, right? And to carry a message. So an angel tells who God wants to become an angel to meet another angel. Altogether. So in the category of angels, there are different kinds of angels. Praise Jesus, right? So Cornelius was to meet a Peter who will tell him what to do. So he says, go send for Peter. So it means that men will always be better teachers than angels. Altogether. Look at verse 34. Look at verse 34. That same chapter. He says, then Peter opened his mouth and he said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no what? Respecter of persons. Right? So Peter understood that God is no respecter of persons. How do you suppose Peter got to that conclusion? Go back to verse 9. When Acts 10, go back to verse 9. Acts chapter 10, verse 9. How did Peter get to that conclusion? You must have read Acts chapter 10, verse 9 before you get to Acts 10, 34. Right? He says, on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew near unto the city, Peter went upon the housetop to what? To pray. Now, what happened to Peter? Verse 10, he became like some of you. And he became very what? Hungry. Thank God. You see, your voice was loud. Some of you. Yeah, you could relate. And would have what? Eating. But while they made ready, he fell into a what? A trance. Let me tell you something. See, you can be hungry and the hunger will determine the kind of trance you have. Praise Jesus. You know yourself. Yeah, you can be hungry and your hunger will determine the kind of prayer you pray. Are we together? See, what happened to Paul, Peter? Peter was hungry. He was waiting for the food to be ready. While he was waiting for the food to be ready, the hunger pushed him into a trance. Let's say it that way. Right? He fell into a trance. Now, see what happens in the trance. He says, and he saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him. And it had been a great ship knit of what? Four corners. And let down to the earth, wherein were all manners of four-footed beasts of the earth and of wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him. What was the voice? Rise, Peter, kill, and what? Eat. So, rise, Peter, kill, and eat was the message or the voice he heard in the what? In the trance. Altogether, look at Peter's conversation. He says, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God had what cleansed, that call not thou what common. Now, look at verse 16. That was done how many times? Three times, right? And the vessel was received up again into where? Heaven. Now, look at verse 17. Please read carefully. Verse 17, check your Bibles. Now, while Peter what? Doubted in himself what the vision which he had seen should mean. Behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had inquiry for what? Simon's house, and they stood beside before the what? Gate, and called and asked whether Peter, Simon was a son named Peter. So, by word of knowledge, in the revelation of Cornelius, he knew Peter's name. Are we here? Was Cornelius saved? Ah, find it in a place you had to accept. He wasn't saved. Because the story of Acts 10 is to show you how Cornelius and his family got saved. So was Cornelius saved? Was he a devout man? Was he given to prayer? Was he given to alms? The angel first told him. He first commended him. Okay? Your prayers, your alms, they come up to God as a memorial. Are we together? So Cornelius was a man of prayer who could partake in word of knowledge, but wasn't a believer. Praise God. That should shake your mind, right? Yeah, that should shake your mind. So the story of the revelation of Peter was to make Cornelius hear the message of the gospel and get saved. Are we together? So Peter doubted in his heart, and he says, there's sick men in front of you. Why Peter? Now look at verse 19, where we are going to really. While Peter thought on the what? The vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Wait. By word of knowledge, Cornelius sent three men to Joppa. By word of knowledge, Peter knows three men are looking for him. You know, in that verse, this is someone came to tap him from his trance. Is it your Bible? Yeah? So, did anybody come to tap Peter? Bible says the Spirit what? The Spirit said unto him. So, Peter thought on the visions. The Spirit said unto him, behold, there are three men who seek thee. Arise therefore and get down and what? Go with them. Right? Not doubting anything. For I have what? Sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom ye seek. Accuracy in word of knowledge. Altogether. One thing you should know about what Peter did in verse 19 was that Peter thought on the vision. Hold on. Peter had a vision. He was hungry, fell into a trance, had a vision. Now, verse 34 now tells you that Peter actually came to a conclusion. Right? So you come to the right conclusion when you think on the vision. Did you get that? What did Peter first get? The thinking or the vision? The vision. So he first got the vision. Then the Bible says in verse 19, he thought on the vision. Then the Bible now tells you in verse 34, Peter came to a conclusion. So to get to the conclusion of the matter, you have to have a vision, then think on the vision so you can conclude well. Are we together? So the vision was to be thought upon. So Peter, despite seeing a vision, despite witnessing a vision, what do you think? Let me not say this right now. I'll take it later. Right? So Peter thought on the vision and he came to a conclusion from the vision he had. What do you suppose was the seed that Peter used to think of the vision? Christ, okay, but by extension, the scriptures that Jesus taught for 40 days. Jesus was there. Peter was in Jesus' seminar for 40 days. So there are certain things Peter will have as a fundamental in his Christian faith. So he will think on the vision using the lens of the man Jesus Christ. Are we together? So verse 34 says, Peter said, so in a trance, we need to be careful not to interpret a trance wrongly. Wait, can a man interpret a trance wrongly? Did Peter start interpreting wrongly? Yes, so what did he first say? I cannot eat what is what? Unclean. Right? So it's not enough to have a wrong interpretation of a trance. But the problem is, what do you think true when you have a trance? Are we together? So Peter had a trance. Peter fell into a trance. He was what? Hungry. That's instructive to the believer. So Peter knows well to know to think about a trance. Are we together? Right? So can a trance be rightly interpreted? Can a trance be wrongly interpreted? What did Peter say in his trance? Food, four footed beast, different kinds of animals, a Jewish man we call unclean. Right? So in the trance of Peter, men are represented as animals. Are we together? What did Peter first see? Peter first saw that animals that are that way are not eaten in the Jewish culture. Altogether. So a man can see snake in his dream. Altogether, and have a wrong interpretation of snake in his dream. Altogether. A man can see snail in his dream and have a wrong interpretation of snail in his dream. And there's a lot of superstition around right now. You know, when you see snail in your dream, it means your life is about to be slow. Right? When you see snake, it means that your life is about to be quite corny. Then when you now eat in your dream, what happens? It is finished. When you eat your dream, it is finished. Are we together? Yeah? So, you see, diverse interpretations to diverse things. But what is the godly way to approach any dream? Think it through the lens of the scriptures. Are we together? Are we here? So, Cornelius wasn't born again. So a non-born again man can see visions. Was the vision accurate? Was the vision accurate? Was the vision accurate? Was the vision accurate? Was it from the vision he heard about Peter? Was it not accurate? Was it from the vision? Hold on, let me make you understand what you are just saying. For you to have a vision about a man and you know the city, Joppa, and you know the name of the man and the name of the man is staying with, and you know his house is close to the sea. Is that not accurate? Is that not accurate? Is that a word of knowledge? Is that a word of knowledge from dream? Are we together? Is that not a word of knowledge from an unbeliever? So can an unbeliever foresee? You shouldn't be difficult. You shouldn't be difficult to answer that question now. You shouldn't struggle to answer that question. Right? Can an unbeliever foresee? Can an unbeliever have an accurate dream? Can a man who is not a believer dream that Nigeria will come back together? Okay, I thought you said the other one. I thought you said the other one, but I said, let me adjust my mouth. Right? So we'll end up in Simon Peter's house. So can a man who is not born again see accurate vision? You know, some of us really, when we're a few years ago, let me use myself as an example. There are lots of things, for instance, I see replay weeks after I've seen it before. Right? So the word, we call it what? Deja vu. Altogether. Sometimes you meet a man for the first time, you're like, but I've met you before, and I've seen you with this clothes, and you said this thing to me. What's happening? Are we together? So, can Babalawo see? Yes, oh! See, Cornelius was a prayerful man and a giver. There's nothing in scriptures that makes you see that Cornelius had any fetish power attached to his life. Are we here? So, Cornelius, a man without a fetish power, could see. So, a man without fetish power, can he see ahead? Can a man with fetish power see ahead? Yes, so it doesn't change. What differentiates a man with fetish power, a man without fetish power, and a man with God's power? What differentiates it? It is what you do with the vision. Are we here? Please, that's important to note. What differentiates the vision of a believer and the vision of a non-believer is what you get and do with the vision. The interpretation of the vision and what you do with the vision. Very, very important. Very, very important. Let me give you a typical example. I will let you finish writing that. What differentiates the believer, the vision of a believer, and the vision of all unbelievers is what they do with the vision. You see, Cornelius even acted more of a believer after that vision as an unbeliever. Are we here? Do you agree with me? Cornelius acted more of a believer than an unbeliever. Do you remember when Paul was in a trance and he saw a man from Macedonia saying, come unto us. Remember that trance? It's in Acts. You're supposed to have read it if you've read the book of Acts. Are we together? Don't now say yes, because I think you read the book of Acts. Be careful with what you are saying in church. Praise God. He will come back to that conversation. Right? So, you see Paul in a trance. He says what? A man from Macedonia beckoned on me to come and what? To come unto Macedonia. Right? So, can an unbeliever see a man in Macedonia beckoning on him to come? Right? What is the easiest way to know you've interpreted that? Take your business to Macedonia. Relocate to Macedonia. There is greener pass. Sure. All together. What did someone like Cornelius do with a vision for Macedonia? It ended up being fulfillment of ministry. All together. All together. Why am I telling you all of this? I'm trying to tell you all of this to show you what angels will do in the communication of the things they have to communicate. Are we together? So we have Peter. We have Peter who fell into a trance, or we have Cornelius who fell into a trance. So is trance limited to the believer? Is trance limited to the believer? Can an unbeliever see trance? Okay. Can an unbeliever see dream? Can an unbeliever see vision? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Was Paul an unbeliever when he saw Jesus? Okay, so that answers it, right? Beautiful. Right? So, in the real sense, it means that The difference between a believer and an unbeliever in reference to visions and things spiritual is what the believer does with it. What I'm saying today will help you in interpreting a lot of things in the book of Revelation. Altogether. So seeing vision doesn't tell you are spiritual. Let me say it this way. Seeing vision doesn't tell you are of God. Are we here? Do you hear what I said? Seeing vision doesn't tell you that you are of God. Yeah? So Cornelius, who wasn't born again, saw accurate what? Visions. Did he have the indwelling of the Spirit? Did he have it? No. Okay. So look at that verse. Look at verse 44. After Peter spoke. Now, can a vision be accurate and the conclusion be wrong? Beautiful. Can a trance be accurate and the conclusion is wrong? Could Peter have had a wrong translation? In fact, he did. Now look at verse 44. While Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost what? Fell on all of them which heard, and they of the circumcision which believed were what? Astonished. And as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured the what? Gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnified what? God. Then answered Peter, can a man forbid water and communion? Now who was that? Look at verse 20. Now look at verse 30. Right? Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. Was Cornelius fasting? Do unbelievers fast? Do they fast? Do they pray? Beautiful. Right? So, Cornelius was fasting, and he was narrating the story after he had met with what? With Peter. Are we together? So, a vision requires thinking. Number one, you should take note of that. Right? Peter thought on the vision, verse 19. A vision for a believer requires what? Thinking. So Peter really thought and saw the people he thought he shouldn't preach to were to be preached to. That's his conclusion, right? Yeah, the people who he thought. So in the interpretation of Peter's story, if you read carefully, you see in the real sense that the use of unclean animals was to come to a conclusion in the real sense that there are certain people who are the Gentiles. Altogether. So the conclusion of Peter after thinking of it was that what? They are sending people who Peter thought should not be preached to, and they ought to be what? Preached to. Is that a right conclusion? Is that a right conclusion? What aided that conclusion? He thought on the vision. Praise God. Praise God. So compare, rise, Peter, rise, kill and eat. Altogether. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. How does that relate to preaching the gospel? So, can you say rise, kill, eat? Are those negative words? Okay, depends on the context. Are they by default negative words? Okay. If the Holy Spirit tells me, point at Brandon, so kill and eat. Is it a negative? If I see ram, rise, kill, and eat, what should stop me from eating a ram? What stopped Peter from eating or wanting to partake in the feast? His culture. Is his culture? Is his culture now, Abby? Is it not in this culture that they call certain animals unclean? In our culture, don't we call certain animals unclean? If they caught lizard for you, how many of you eat lizard? If you see lizard, I don't say if you've eaten it, or if I'm not the one they say that they put it in your food, and I say, you know what you ate was lizard? I mean, you went and you saw lizard and they caught lizard for you. You've eaten, let me see. You've eaten snake, let me see. Snake is common now. Yeah? So look at unclean people. Just just take out unclean people, right? That's a revelation. So you know those who not to go to, not to go to uncertain conversations, right? You know, some people believe that when you know, I've not eaten goat. I can't say that. I still ate it this morning. This morning I made myself ready, available for that. Praise Jesus. While I was feasting on the world, I was feasting on the world. Yeah, my world is goats, right? So in the real sense, right? So in the real sense, I heard that snake meat. You know, some people don't eat snail. Is it funny? You know, some people don't eat draw soup. You know, for a few number of years in my life, they say I should not eat draw soup. That is drawing. I'm not joking. Me, you are seeing here. Should I go for that? Me, you are seeing here. Stop eating draw soup. Okra was not a meal, especially okra. You see, when you go out and see the superstition in the hearts of people, you will thank God you know Jesus. Obono, draw soup. Imagine you now eat okra with snail. Slow mo. So you'll be wondering why your life is not going fast. But we are laughing. These are people's reality. Oh. I'm not even joking with you to try to make you laugh or bust your bubbles. These are people's realities. Some people don't eat fish. I heard snake tastes like fish. Is that true? Very true. And it's part of the world they eat anything. No, dog is now a common. Dog is like crude oil now. Now it's just dog is now everywhere. Eating dog. I'm not even eating it yet. But you know, the truth is that the superstitions in your mind can influence your dreams, and your visions, and your trance, and can also influence your interpretation of your dreams, your vision, your trance. Altogether, look at it. Peter started from a place where you call animals unclean. He moves forward in knowledge to understand that the unclean will be people. Altogether, the unclean that are now people are who you will call the outcasts. His knowledge of the gospel being for a group of people had to be revisited by thinking on the things he has known or the things he knows from time. Are we together? You know, so the believer can have dreams. You see, dreams are, you know, it's interesting to know that dreams really, the epistles does not pay attention to dreams. You see a lot of dreams in the writings of the prophets, Joseph the dreamer, and all of those, you know, several things. But the truth is, what you do to dreams is what you do to almost everything you get in your heart. Let me give an instance. You know, when you have believers meeting, for instance, when you want to say something by the Spirit of God, you know, it is up to you to sieve by your knowledge what you will say with what you sense. You get that? You see, what differentiates two believers is, a lot of times, is how they express what they want to say. Are we together? I can sense an accident, for instance, and tell you, brother, don't enter car for the next 2 months. Can a believer not say that? What did he sense? Accident. What is the easiest way for you to prevent accidents? Do enter a car. Write a letter to work from home. And also do church from home. Altogether. I can also get a sense of accident and say, be careful on this road. And be careful with how you drive on this road. And be careful with your speed limit on this road. Altogether. I can look at you now and let me not use somebody. I can look at the brother or his sister right now and see his mom doing like this to him. Believer one. You say, where's your mom? Who is she? I said, she's just a trader. You don't know your mom. You don't know your mom. Right? Right? So I could communicate that truth to that person. I could tell the person, your mom is a witch, straight. Let's not beat the bush. Let's not do Japan, Simon the Tanner. Yeah? Let's just hit it on the air. Your mother is a witch. I can tell you, be careful the things you allow your mom say over you. Or be careful the things, the influence you allow your mom have over your family. Or be careful to sieve out the information she tells you. Or be, you two different things. One, I have destroyed one relationship. One, I have tried to put caution in the heart of one relationship. Are we together? You see, there are some people who don't talk to their relatives today because of what the prophet has said. I hope you know. In fact, there are some people who don't talk to their wives today because of what their prophet has said. The prophet has said their wife is the one that is doing them, and that's the end. Nothing, anything can say, because by the time you check her traits in the house, it's similar to the traits of someone that is sent to do you. Oh, gracious Father. You see, this thing I'm talking about did not start today. It started with Peter. Peter saw animals. First, he sees animal. He said, this is unclean. In my culture, this is unclean. And was it right to say that is unclean? What was the instruction to do with those things? Rice, kill, and eat. What is the meaning of rice, kill, and eat? Peter, go and preach the gospel to all the nations of the world. Are we together? Are we here? Are you here? Have you gone? Look at Acts 15. Let's see how he explains it. You know, someone can see Peter's vision and see it as a call into hunting. Is that not true? What do hunters do? Rise, kill, sell. So that they can what? And what? Eat. Yeah, so that's a call into the business world. See, that your vision might be clear in clear terms doesn't mean that's the meaning of the vision. What is complex about rice? What's complex about kill? What's complex about it? Simple, basic words you can relate to, but they mean directly opposite of what the logical mind says it should be. Look at Acts 15, a few years after. Look at Acts 15. You know they fought Peter for going to Cornelius' house. I hope you know that. Look at Acts 15 now. Acts 15:4. And when they were come to Jerusalem, right, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up a certain sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it is needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of what? Moses. Verse 6. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. Right? And when they had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago, hallelujah, God made choice amongst us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and what? Believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them what? Witness. Are we there? Giving them the what? Holy Ghost, even as he did unto what? Look at verse 9, let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. So there is no difference. So what is the vision of the ugly beast that Peter saw? There is no difference between all nationalities as long as they come into the resurrection reality. All together. So when angel called what God has called clean, don't call common. Angel was really saying there is no difference amongst what the nations of the earth as long as they are in the same what reality of the resurrection. There is neither Jew. So is that a good way of saying there is neither Jew neither Greek? See, which one is simpler to say? There is neither Jew neither Greek. And see all kind of animals, rise, kill, and eat. Which one is easier? There is neither now. There is neither difference now. It's not easier. There is no difference between you and let me say this way. There's no difference between you and somebody in Canada. Right? And I'll come and tell you, I see lion, I see giraffe, I see antelope. And I see you run with your leg as fast as possible to cut off the head of a lion, then cut off the neck of the giraffe, then cut off the head of the antelope. And I see you prepare a meal and sit in front of it and pour little oil on it and roast it well, then eat. What am I seeing? The lion, the antelope, the giraffe, they all need to be preached to. Which one is easier? Preach to lion, preach to giraffe, preach to antelope. And that story I gave earlier on. Preach now. Are we together? If one is not careful, what will you see? When I started talking about lion, antelope, killing, cutting, what do you see yourself doing? Hunting now. See yourself in your career game reserve. Right? See yourself in the bush. I was together looking for animals to what? Kill. And sell. So, the conclusion of Peter, Christ, kill, and eat is actually to say that there's neither Jew, neither Greek, neither poor, neither rich. There is no what? Difference. But in the vision, what did Paul, what did Peter see? He saw fire, he saw vulture. Altogether. Yeah, so angels, back to Revelation. Angels mediated, an angel was a mediator in the book of Revelation. Altogether. Who are the best teachers of God's word? Men. What did Peter tell you about angels? Angels desire to what? Look into. Altogether. So angels desire to look into, men have it, and men can what? Teach it. It's interesting to know that when Jesus sat with men for 40 days, it was strictly men that were there. Are we together? Do you have any record of him inviting supernatural beings? Are we together? Yeah? Praise God. Back to Revelation 1. Book of Revelation chapter 1. So what I'm saying will help you understand the letters to the churches in Revelation. Now, we started saying something. Look at verse 4. Look at verse 4. He says, "Join to the seven churches which are in where? Asia. Grace be unto you and what? Peace from him which is and which was and which is to what? Come." Now look at it. "And to the and from the what? Seven spirits which are before his throne. And from Jesus Christ who is the what? Faithful what? Witness. The first begotten." Now from verse 5, do you see John writing like an average apostle? Did you see that? Is John writing like an average apostle? We saw yesterday, what did Paul call first begotten? First fruit. What did Paul in Colossians call first begotten? We saw it yesterday now. The first begotten you see in the book of Revelation, what did Paul call it to the Corinthians? First fruits. What did Paul call it to the Colossians? Colossians. Did you say anything like firstborn? So do you remember now? Did I say firstborn yesterday? So to Colossians, firstborn. To Corinthians, first fruits. In Revelation, what did John say? First begotten. So the first begotten is the first fruit, which is the first what? Born. Now, when John now enters verse 5, he says, "And to the what? The faithful witness." Are we together? The faithful witness. That faithful witness. He says, who is the first what? Begotten from the other what? Now, we now pay attention to the prince of this world, prince of the kings of the earth. Did you learn something in all of those things? Yeah, what earth is that? God's earth? Is that God's kingdom? Is that God's kingdom? Is that God's word? Is that God's Mount Zion? Are we together? So when you see in the Bible, in the Mount Zion, there shall be what? Deliverance. Right? In real sense, that transition, should we go there? Really, it's just saying that in Mount Zion are delivered people. Right, you know how we quote it now? In Mount Zion, there shall be what? Deliverance and holiness, and the people shall what? After Jesus can wash, possess. It just really means that in Mount Zion are delivered people who have received the possession. That's in passing. Okay. Yeah. So John, like every other apostle, will teach about the first begotten from the dead and speaks about Jesus as the prince of the kings of the earth. Altogether, we establish also that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. He now tells you in verse 6, he has made us what? Kings and what? Priests. What's the work of a priest? To render what? Service. Yeah? What do you see in Genesis? As priests, to dress and keep the garden. So the work of the priest is to dress and keep the garden. And that's what you have been made in the what? Kingdom of God as a king. So that's what you now see. Peter now tells you in 1 Peter 2:9. He says, "Here, a chosen generation, a what? Royal priesthood." So your priesthood comes with royalty. A what? A peculiar people, a holy what? Nation. Hallelujah. Say, I'm in God's holy nation. Say, I'm in God's holy nation. Say, I'm in God's holy nation. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Right? So, you see John starts off like an average apostle. He tells you, oh, Jesus is the faithful witness. That's the same message of Paul. Same message of Peter. So, Jesus is a faithful witness. He now tells you, and he has made us, in verse 6, kings and priests unto God and his what? Father. We establish what it means to him be what? Glory and dominion forever. What is his dominion? His dominion is found in the fact that he washes man from sin. Did we see that? Beautiful. Yeah. So sometimes John will write and it will be plain. Sometimes John will write, it will be what? Complex. Why? Angel is what? Involved. Look at Revelation 5. Revelation chapter 5. Are you there? Hold on. Revelation. Now, on Monday we established that the book of Revelation is revelation of what? Of Jesus. By extension, we paid attention to a word. I've uploaded the teachings, right? Yeah, what's the title of Monday's teaching? You've not checked it. Okay, you want to check it after the seminar, that's fine. Yeah. What did I pay attention to yesterday most? Lamp was yesterday. What did I pay attention to the most on Monday? Blood. Are we together? So we say that the book of Revelation is the revelation of the blood. What is his blood? His life, his light, his spirit. All together. And his word. Yeah. And we say yesterday, the blood is the lamp. Right? So the spirit is the lamp. So we saw the revelation of the lamp yesterday. We paid attention to the lamp yesterday. Put attention to the blood 2 days ago. And we said that the lamp is one of the most used words in the book of Revelation. All together. And we saw about a lamb that has a people who are called. Remember that? Called, chosen, faithful. And we read it from Ephesians chapter 1, showing how we've been predestinated, called, chosen before the foundation of this world, and all of that. Right. So, in the real sense, it means that when you read the book of Revelation, you must see Jesus. You must see the blood. You must see the lamb. You must see the light. You must see the life. You must see the spirit of God. Praise God. And the word of God. So, look at Revelation 5. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book, written within and on the backside, sealed with what? 7 seals. Dear saints, yeah, for an angel to tell you, rise, kill and eat, or for an angel to communicate, arise, kill and eat means to save. When you see book, be careful. Are we together? Are we here? If you read Revelation chapter 5, and what you start looking for is a book, you will be like Peter looking for vulture and fowl. Are we together? See, if Luke had not recorded the story of Peter and Peter's interpretation, man would have begun to build doctrine around fowls. Abby? Who wrote the book of Acts? Luke. Where do you have the story of Peter and the fowls and the vultures and everything? Luke. Acts rather. If Luke did not write those stories, what what a lot of us are building doctrine around today? For instance, water baptism, for instance, is easy to look at Luke or look at Matthew, look at the four gospels. Are we? Abby? But if you now read contextually, you now realize that, oh, even Paul says, oh, okay. Sorry about that. Even Peter tells you, oh, okay. Do you understand? So in reading Bible, in the interpretation and the reading of the Bible, you need to be patient to get to a solid conclusion. So if you open Revelation chapter 5 verse 1, and I saw before the throne a book, and you start painting book. So it means that the book of life in Revelation, you should pay attention to it. Abi now. Yes, right? When they say a book is the book of life, can you have a book of life? Let me help you explain it a bit too. So there's a book of life. Praise Jesus. What are books made of? Trees. Did not tell you there's something called tree of life. So tree of life is equal to book of life, is equal to tree of book, book of tree, and life of life. Okay, I'm just trying to confuse you. When you see book in the book of Revelation, don't think of
50 leaves. Oh. Or the book they used to use as share as souvenir and burial. Don't think of book they gave you for graduation, no, with your graduation cap. Let me ask you a question. When you see book, what should come to your mind averagely? Some again? Is it scriptures? Sister Uni. Yeah? When you see this book, when you see book, what should come to your mind? Let me ask you a question. When someone tells you something and say, I've taken note of it, when you didn't write anything. So a record, a documentation. All together. Yeah, somebody, you're talking to someone and say, well, I will note that. I will note that. And you don't see Bible, you don't see notebook. Now together. So it means that when you see book, be careful what the interpretation of book will mean. So look at it. If you try to explain that book is not literal, will the seven seals be literal? If you try to explain that the book is not literal, and this look at Revelation 5:1. Are you there? And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with what? Seven seals. Look at verse 2. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seal thereof? Are we together? Are we together? Never forget, who is writing the book of Revelation? John. Is there a mediator in between that, in the Revelation? The mediator, the ministry of what? Angel. Did John speak in the book of Revelation? Do you suppose angels also spoke? Look at it now. It tells you now. And I saw a strange angel proclaiming. Is that not to speak? Yeah. So in the real sense, book and seal will be symbolic languages for what is going on. All together. If you explain the book not to be literal, the seals will not be literal. If the book is symbolic, the seal will be symbolic. Can you have a non-literal book with a physical seal? No, think about it now. You have a non-literal book, and that non-literal book has physical seals. Right? So if the book is not literal, the seals will not be what? Literal. So it means that you can see books and seals as documentation or the reporting of certain events. Are we here? Are we here? Right? Look at, now, let me help you see something again. Let me help you see something. Look at verse 3. And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to what? Open, neither look thereon. Now look at verse 4, please. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to what? Open and to read the book, neither to look. Please, look at verse 5, oh, please. Oh. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold the Lion of the tribe of what? Judah. Okay, hold on. Who said Lion of the tribe of Judah? John or elder? Who said Lion of the tribe of Judah? John or elder? Elder. Whatever. He will give him a name in your mind. So when he says, weep not, who is talking? Elder. All together. And one of the elders announced the plenty. So we've established Jesus spoke in the book of Revelation. John spoke, angels spoke, and who again spoke? Elder. Are you together? Yeah, elder spoke. Yeah, so when you see elder speaking, be careful, right? So one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the what? Root of David, had what? Prevailed to open this book and to what? Loose the seven seals thereof. Now we established book is not literal, seal is not literal, so to loose the seal is not literal. You get that? Please look at the next verse. And I beheld, and I know, in the midst of the thrones, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood what? Stood the? What did the elder call the lamp? Lion of the tribe of Judah. So, okay. Why do you suppose John is telling you it is lamp I saw? Because in addition, your doctrine can influence what you see. So, Jesus is not the lion and the lamp. He's elder. That told you Jesus. Jesus is a lion. John, a disciple of Jesus and apostle, did not call Jesus lion. Hey, yeah, Judah. Abi, how do you call it? Hey, can you? That's the Yoruba people of Zion. Yeah. So, you know, you see some people, they draw artists. One artist, one face is showing sheep. The other face is showing lion. I put it in front of your door. Oga, it is elder that sent lion of the tribe of Judah. What did John see? And I beheld in the midst of the elders, the lamb. Let me ask you a question. Who first spoke about the lamb in scriptures that you point to, for instance? John. In John chapter 1, verse what? 29. We saw it yesterday. So what did John, look at it. What did John see when he saw Jesus? Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. What did John see amidst the elders and their doctrine? I saw a lamb. So you see in scriptures, John never acknowledges that Jesus is lion. All together. Where do you suppose the doctrine of the lion of tribe of Judah comes from? It's a Jewish perspective. How do you know? Tribe of what? Judah. Now, man would have thought that God would come as a lion to save the world. Are we together? But he came as a lamb. And in his non-violence, he was winning the world. Remember yesterday? Yeah, the lamb of God that won the war in his non-violence. Right? So, man would have thought Jesus would just come. He said, where them day? Who go there? You know, and it starts bouncing, and as it's bouncing, all the whole floor is shaking, and it's bouncing, all the whole floor is shaking. Are we together? Man's mind wanted to see that to comprehend God's love. But in that is the foolishness of God. Did you get that? Yeah? Are we together? So man wants to see the voracious being. The loud being that will come and say, oh. Right? If, let me ask you a question. You know, if lion appear here, the slant of your heart is different from if sheep appear. I say there's no slant. Everybody will pick this. Let's assume that door is locked. Seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make that way for us. He will be our guide. Yeah. So if lion open there, yeah, you don't even have slants. Let's even assume you are brave. The slant in reacting to a lion will be different from your slant in reacting to a lamb. Are we together? So God did not come as a lion, but came as a lamb. Like I said yesterday, imagine 50 men who are above the age of 50 fighting a 3-month-old baby. What do you want the baby to do? Imagine we put JD in front of us now and we give him big chair. The big chair doesn't make him big. Right? And we give him big chair and sit there and everybody here will start. But you know, if JD just do and it's closer to the sound of the roar of a lion, you will run. That's the lion of a tribe of what to be. You know you will run. But man thought God would come as a lion, but God came as a lamb. And in that is the victory of God amidst men, to separate man from their sin. Look at it again. The elder said, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah. John says, I beheld. So look at it. See, when they say behold, what does it mean? Pay attention. So look at this, everyone. In the doctrine of the elder, for John to behold, to see a lion, he saw a lamb. What did the elder say? Behold the lion of the tribe of Judah. What did John not tell you? In my beholding, I beheld, oh. But what I beheld is not what he said I should behold. What did I beheld? I beheld the Lamb of God. Ask together. Look at it again. So now in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elder, stood a lamb as it had been what? Slain. Having what? How many horns did the lamb have? Seven horns. Maybe that's why they're not touching. Seven eyes. He now tells you what the seven horns and seven eyes are, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book. So it means that the book that is to be opened will be opened by a lamb. All together. So, and he says, and he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when they are taking the book, the what? The four beasts and and 24 that's 24 elders, fell down before the, having every one of them harps, gold, vines. They want to sing with the elders. Right? Full of odors, which are prayers of what? Saints. Which are what? Prayers of sin. And they what? Sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seal thereof. For thou wast slain, and what? Has redeemed us to God by thy blood. Out of every what? Kindred, tongue, people, nations. And has made us unto our God what? And we shall what? Reign. What earth is that? Physical earth? No, it will be God's earth. You know, when the Bible tells in Matthew 24, he came and said unto them, all power and heaven and earth is given unto me. You know, heaven and earth. Let me ask you a question. The heaven and earth, there, is it physical? One is physical, one is spiritual. Physically spiritual. Or spiritually physical. Yeah, he says, all power in heaven and earth is given up to me. At the time, was he the elder? Was he the Pharaoh? Are we together? So you would have thought the earth there is physical earth. But did he have the power to rule over Egypt? Was he the ruler over Egypt when he said that? So it means that heaven and earth will be a concept to speak about the resurrection. Because the authority he has is in the resurrection. So even though you see heaven and earth, don't separate it as as whatever you want to separate it is. It's just a figurative expression for what? The new life, the new kindred, God's heavenly Jerusalem. Are we together? So there's a song of redemption that they sung. Are we together? So in that song, we see that John says, oh, the Lamb has taken and opened the book. The Lamb has opened the book. The Lamb has opened the book. So elders spoke. Angels spoke. John is also speaking. Let me tell you, what do you think will make John speaking correct? What Paul did has a thought. Is what? He's thinking. Did you get that? Did you get that? So let me ask you a question. Who should we listen to first in the book of Revelation? No, not John. No. Who should we listen? Wait, we said people spoke in the book of Revelation now. Abi, one of the people that spoke is John, angel, elder. Are we together? Then who? Jesus. So who should we listen to first in the book of Revelation? Jesus. Who should we listen to next? John, a student of Jesus. Then you cannot listen to the elder if they become student of John or Jesus. Or you cannot listen to the angel if they become students of what? John or Jesus. All together. So, can you just saw an example of an elder speaking? And you know that is the verse that picks the doctrine of line of tribe of Judah. That's it. Right? But who said it? An elder. Amongst the 24. So the elder said, behold, see. Look at it this way. Rashegu, see the land of tribe of Judah. Rashegu now wants to write a story. And as Joshua said, see the land of tribe of Judah, I beheld the lamp of God. That's what happened in Revelation. All together. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. You see, and this doesn't go as much to say that there are only... You understand where I wanted to end when you get home. Go back to Revelation 1. Blessings and honor. All together. So look at Revelation chapter 1. Verse 8. Now. Alpha and what? Omega. The beginning and the ending, say the Lord. So what does that mean? The prophecies or the words of prophecy spoken at the beginning, I am the fulfillment. Right? So when you look forward to the fulfillment of the prophecy, you see me. Praise Jesus. So John spoke, angels spoke, Jesus spoke, elders spoke. All together. Now, one thing again you must note is that the book of Revelation is not a book of sequential events. Please write that down in your note and circle it. The book of Revelation is not a book of sequential events. altogether. The book of Revelation. Look at Revelation 17. Revelation 17. Look at verse 14. They shall make war with the Lamb. We saw this yesterday. And the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And they that are with him are called and are chosen and what? Faithful. And he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest. Now we explained that the waters are what? People, right? We said that yesterday. Waters which thou sawest are people, and multitudes, and nations, and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hit the wall, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God had put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and to give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest in the great city, which reigned over the kings of the earth. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from where? Heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his what? Glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is what? Fallen. So we'll pay attention to this tomorrow. Okay, no. Okay, we'll pay attention to this in days to come. Amen. Amen. Go back to Revelation 1 quickly. Now, we said something. Angels signify the book of Revelation, right? So the things of book of Revelation is a book that is full of heavy symbolical expressions, full of metaphoric expressions, full of methods of speech. One form of word is used to represent another thing. One form of word is used to explain another thing. One form of word is used to explain another concept. But never forget, it is the revelation of who? Jesus Christ. And there's no... How many Jesuses do we have? Let me say this. How many Jesus Christ do we have? One. You know, there's a difference. A difference. How many Jesus Christ do we have? We have one. It is that same Jesus Christ who the book of Revelation reveals that we see in the book of Revelation. Altogether. So it means that there are certain knowledges or knowledge, or there are certain things you will know about that Jesus in Galatians that will help you in Revelation. Because it's the same Jesus. Altogether. Yeah, so if he writes about me, right, and you write about me, is expected to have similarities. You know that he can write some things that you will not understand, but you will understand what he writes. Let me say it this way. Look at it. About me. You write about me, you write about me. You read his writings, you read his writings. You know you can read his writings to understand his writing. Did you get that? What did I just say? You can read his writings and not understand me, but read his writings and understand his writings to understand me. Did you get that? Did you get that? So, you must go to the book of Revelation with a certain knowledge and understanding about Jesus Christ. What did Paul tell you in Galatians 1? He says, Jesus gave himself, right? He has given himself to us. Now, Jesus now tells you that if any other angel should preach any other gospel, let him be what? Accursed. So, it means that, this is me, for instance. You write about me, you write about me, you write about me. You now see, if any of them write about me, and what they write about me is different from what you all have agreed, let him be accursed. Is it confusing? I'm just explaining the basic thing. Okay, let me use different sides. Two of you write about me, right? Two of you write about me, right? You now say in your writing that if any of the other three people who wrote about me write something different from what you all have agreed about me, let that person be what? So it means that in their writings, you should find similarities. And if in his writings, he writes something different that is abstractly different from what you all agree on, you should either pay attention to it to see the extent in which it should be accursed or not. Or his writing can actually make you have a better understanding of their writings. Did I confuse anybody here? Don't be confused. Hallelujah. Let me close somewhere here this evening. Are you having a good time in God's word? So, there is such a thing as the glory of God that has been revealed in the person of Jesus. And there is a way men can teach about the glory of God. There is a way John is writing about the glory of God in the face of Jesus. And there is a way we need to sit down to read about the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Are we together? Are we together? So, Jesus is called the faithful witness. Are we together? Let me show you something in Revelation 19 before we go. Revelation 19. Revelation 19:9. Are you there? He says, and he said unto me, right blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true saints of God. Now let me ask you a question. Is that similar to the marriage supper of the Lamb? Is that similar to Christ and the church? So what do you eat in the supper of the Lamb? Okay, hold on. You'll get it now. Don't worry. In the marriage union between Christ and the church, who do you eat? Christ as the bread now. So in the marriage supper of the Lamb, what do you eat? Jesus as the Lamb. Are we here? Did you get that? Yeah. In the feast of the unleavened bread, what do you eat? Unleavened bread. In the feast of Jesus and the church, what do you eat? Jesus as the bread. Right? In the feast of the marriage lamb, the supper of the supper of the Lamb. Supper of the what? Marriage supper of the Lamb. Yeah? It's a marriage union whereby what you eat is the Lamb. Are we together? So you are married to the Lamb by eating the Lamb. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Alright, so we'll pay attention to angels today. Okay? Is that fine? Have you understood a few things about angels? Right? Tomorrow we're going to pay attention to, we're going to start looking at the letter. So you know, if you take deliberate attention, you see seven spirits of God. And you know, people teach seven spirits of God as different spirits. There's a book called The Seven Spirits, right? Yeah, so this... So you see the seven spirits of God in the book of Revelation, but it has a meaning. You see seven candlesticks. I spoke about candlesticks yesterday. Is that true? Did I speak about it yesterday? I didn't, in passing. What did I say about candlesticks? I said candlesticks speaks about the local church. Okay. Prosperity and what? Okay. So we'll look at it tomorrow. Right? So when you see seven angels of the seven churches, the angels there will be men. That's why I gave an introduction today, because angels, angelos will be both men and supernatural beings. All together. So when you now see Revelation, look at Revelation. Tell me, I've not closed. Check it. I closed this digital one. Let's go to analog now. Check it. So we're going home. Let's look at it. Revelation 1. Can you see Revelation chapter 1? You see verse 13, right? Are you there? It says, and look at verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. All together. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the what? Son of Man clothed with a garment down to the what? Foot. And get about the paps with a golden what? Get his hair, his head and his ears were white like wool and white as snow. Did he say it was wool? Did he say it was snow? White as. And his eyes were as the flame of what? And his feet like unto what? Fine brass. And if they had burned in the furnace, and his voice as the what? Sounds of many waters. Something's moving. They boom. See his glory. Boom. I went together. You know, I talked about the morning star recently. Very recently, I remember teaching about morning star. Sweet Jesus, how wonderful you are. You are brighter than the morning star. Jesus is really the morning star. I taught it, right? Yeah, I did. I remember a few weeks ago. Yeah. You were precious, most precious, more than everything, more than gold. You were precious, more precious than gold. That is why in our lives, if we were born again last year. So, he says in verse 17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the what? So, it means that everything he was describing was who? The first and the last. Are we together? I am he that liveth. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of hell and of what? Death. Why? Because he won victory. Yeah. So write the things which thou hast seen. So who is talking now? Jesus. So right. So check your Bibles. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of what? Seven stars, which thou sawest in my what? Right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are what? So was John seeing stars, and he named them, seven of them, seven stars were to represent what? Angels of the seven churches. Hold on. He says, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest were the what? Seven churches. So can you see, what I just said? The candlesticks were about the seven churches. The stars were about the angels of the seven churches. Look at chapter 2. He now says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. Is he an angel that has sword, that is white, that is at the door? No. The angel will be what? The bishop over the church of Ephesus. Altogether, this thing said that he holding the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are what? Evil. And thou hast tried them, which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Altogether, because thou hast left thy. So what's the problem of the church of Ephesus? They left their first love. We'll look at what the first love means tomorrow, and we'll go on from there. Bow your heads and let's talk in tongues for a few minutes.